topic I've been assigned is Nor Sitting in the Seat of the Scornful. And most of us recognize that as coming from Psalm 1, the beginning of the psalm. I want to break this down into a few parts, and we'll see what time permits, but I want to look very briefly at the medium, and then the well, and then the messenger. I'm too young to remember the development of television coming into popular use in America. I'm too young to remember the development of radio coming into popular use in America. But I'm sure there are some sitting here that probably remember coming home and either seeing or helping to throw some of these devices on the garbage pile, very possibly. These mediums were created as a means of getting a message out. And there are a lot of wells out there, a lot of messages that people want to get into your home, into your business, into your mind. And if you would have asked, there would have been many people that would have said that this is a great way to get our propaganda out into the minds of people, to get it out in front of people. Now, I'd like to just take you on a mental trip just a little bit. Well, I don't believe the invention of the television and radio were evil in themselves. I don't believe the devices were evil in themselves. I believe there was an agenda behind the use of them that was inspired by Satan. There was an agenda that he had for those devices. And my mind just takes an imaginary trip. What happened whenever the Mennonites decided that we are not going to have that in our homes? We are not going to have this well of information coming into our homes, into our businesses. I can only imagine, and bear with me, this is just my imagination. In the spirit world, a meeting, these people are throwing this out. This was going to be our tool of getting their propaganda into their homes, into their minds, giving them some of our ideas. What are we going to do? And a discussion, well, let's come up with something that does it better. How are we going to get them to accept it? Well, we need to mix the use of it. We need to somehow make it a tool. We need to somehow make it something that's needed. What are we going to use to propagate it? Well, the computer. We'll use the computer. And your imagination can just run with you for a while on that. But how are we going to get them to accept a message? Well, we'll mix more truth into it. We'll mix the message. We'll stir it up. There'll be a lot of stuff they will just love to hear, and we'll throw our pieces in there. And today we are facing, I would not be here discussing the influence of podcasts if we had not accepted podcasts into our diet. But we are. This is where we are today. And I want to move from that backdrop to looking at the well a little bit. If I give you the expression, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. What does that bring to your minds? It brings something good, doesn't it? But turn with me to John 12. I'm looking at the well now in an effort to understand context that people are bringing their podcasts from. to understand the fact that context says a lot. So if we look at John 12, I just want to look at verses 12 and 13 here. And you'll recognize this as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." They're saying, "Look at Jesus, look at him. Here he is. This is the man we've been waiting for." But look at the context they were looking at it from. This is going to be the king. He's the one that's going to set politics in order. He's going to take care of all the trouble that we're having with the Romans. Isn't that the context that they were actually seeing this from? I believe. Jesus, the King of Israel. And then flip forward with me and John. Let's go to John 19. And here we have a situation. There are three distinct groups of people here looking at the same situation in three different ways. John 19, familiar story, verses 1 to 6. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate says unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I'm just going to cease reading there for lack of time. But we have here Pilate in his political position. He's the one that is qualified to look into, explore the life of Jesus. The Romans considered him qualified to, and the Jews did too, to make a decision that said this man is innocent or he's guilty. We have the soldiers. And their view might not have differed a lot from Pilate's, but when they said, "Look at Jesus," they were saying, "Here's another criminal. Let's have some fun with him. Let's just lighten our jobs a little bit." And we have the chief priests that saw Jesus as a threat. He was getting in the way of their power. He was stealing their influence. The people were flocking after him. They were just, they couldn't handle it because he was getting in their way. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. We had here several different people that looked at it in totally different ways. And I'm just going to read from John 1 real quick. John 1, 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." You see a clear division between the two kingdoms in all the cases that I led up to versus this verse right here. John said, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, that Jesus is here to take away the sin of the world. I want us to think about that ministry a little bit. To take away the sin of the world. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but keep that in mind as we go through this. The ministry of the Christian is to combat the sin of the world. Now, let's take a look at the messenger a bit. And turn with me to Psalm 1. Let's look at that passage. Psalm 1, I'm going to read all six verses. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, are but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So the psalmist here actually points out four distinct messenger types. Three that he's concerned with. He says, first of all, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So the first messenger I have here is, I just titled it secular counselor, and I'm not quite sure how to group all these, but secular counselor. Somebody that's going to look at life problems and try to logically reason them. Try to logically reason the cause and try to logically reason the solution. I think I'll just go ahead and insert it here. Actually, maybe I left my phone on. That's. I just took a picture of something from the name of a podcaster that I don't know if our people listen to him. I hope we don't. I'm going to read it first and then. Okay, sorry. I thought I had it right on screen here and I don't. Okay, I may just have to come back to that. So I had written down, I'd taken a picture of what I would have said summed up Jordan Peterson's basic philosophy of where he speaks from. And it was a very typical of a person that does not have a foundation. It was very convoluted, interwoven description, and carefully presented to try to, I guess I would say, to not be offensive to any audience. Here it is. So he calls it standing up straight with your shoulders back. That's his goal for people in life, to be able to stand up straight with your shoulders back. It's to accept the terrible responsibility of life with eyes wide open. It means deciding to voluntarily transform the chaos of potential into the realities of habitable order. It means adopting the burden of self-consciousness, vulnerability, and accepting the end of the unconscious paradise of childhood, where finitude and morality are only dimly comprehended. It means willingly undertaking the sacrifices necessary to generate a productive and meaningful reality. In parentheses, it means acting to please God, as would have been said in the ancient language. End parentheses. This is his testimony of what I believe, his testimony of what life is all about, just listening some. And I will admit, I'm not an active podcast listener. I had to fire up numerous audio streams in preparation for this message. He says that from the standpoint of an atheist. He's an atheist with an appreciation for the morality of the Bible. And where's the foundation? Where is the foundation? But this is the well he's talking from. This is what he is basing what he shares on his podcast from, this kind of viewpoint. Secular counselor. These people are very educated in their field. They will have a master's degree or a PhD. He has a PhD in psychology. A worldview of change by accepting individual responsibility, and that in turn fixing society. That is not our message. I need to keep moving. The next one addressed here is sinners. A sinner is one who goes against God, one who, and I'm going to say in the context of media, one who promotes a cause against God, who stands for, we can easily list things here, the abortion, the gender issues. What about equality? I was touched on this morning, and socialism, just sharing. You know, I think we're actually affected. I think our younger generation is more affected by some of these kind of topics than what we maybe give credit for. He goes on to say the scorner. This is the person who tries to lift his cause up by despising another person or his cause. Or by another definition, one who scoffs at religion. And, you know, today, I'm very conscious of the fact that in treating a message like this, I could very quickly be that scorner. And it's my goal to do an honest look at what people are operating out of and not to put people down or up. So as I look at, and then he says the godly that meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. And as I look at a lot of what probably attracts our young people, I would think of names more like Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk. Because there is a lot of truth there. And yet, take this quote. Our mission was to create a powerful, conservative, grassroots activist network on campuses and identify, educate, train, organize students to promote the principles of freedom, free market, and limited government. Charlie Kirk. So his mission started with a political foundation. And it was interesting to hear on one of his testimonies that there was some shift after COVID when people started coming to him with questions. I'm going to have a child. What's the proper way to raise a child? Or just put in the blanks, heart questions rather than political questions. And I believe it actually did change his ministry some to come back to more. Well, he said he considered himself a teacher. And I believe he was gifted that way. What am I trying to say by this? There are many, many people today that are speaking that are coming from a Christian background. They were raised in Christian families. But maybe they stood for some things we didn't. Patriotism. Don't stand on nine resistance. Don't know anything about separation from the world. And so there's a message there that resonates. And yet there's an agenda there. There's a well there. There's an influence there. They're coming from a viewpoint, I guess I'm just going to say, of a flat Bible. Another thing one said by one of these podcasters, and I had a paper that I wrote some of the stuff down on and managed to leave it at home, but the concept was we're going to work on changing lives by changing the nation of America which will then influence the world. Going back to John 1, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, did Jesus need the nation of Israel? Did he need them on his side to promote his vision? He did not. His vision, Jesus' kingdom, is different than the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world are not the tools that we need to promote the message of Jesus. And we need to be conscious of that as we have media streams coming in, that many, many are not, do not understand this concept, that the kingdoms of the world are not the tool that Jesus uses to promote his kingdom. And I see my time's running out here. I guess I want to leave it on this positive note. If we delight in the law of the Lord as the godly, if that is truly our delight, it is the rock that we need to sort through the various things that are being thrown at us through whatever media, through whatever means. It is what we need to be conquerors, to be more than conquerors. It says we can be more than conquerors through Christ, which loved us. And that would be my encouragement to us, that we love the law of the Lord, and that these other things that we hear are peripheral, that's not our foundation, that it is not our love, that we are followers of Jesus, that he's the one that we're going to give our follower ratings to. And I just want to encourage us in that, and may God bless us as we sort through the challenges of the times we're in.